It's the Ringer Gambling Show, presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Let's roll, baby. Welcome in. It is a Thursday edition, a loaded, jam-packed Thursday edition of East Coast Bias. The boys are ready to go. We welcome in Joe House from remote, looking as snazzy as always. Raheem Palmer, who has been in the lab getting ready for the 100, getting ready for opening day. We have some NFL over-under totals. I can't believe that we got these gracing our presence in the end of March. That was a little bit of a pleasant surprise. And Raheem made a little cameo appearance on the Bill Simmons podcast. I heard a little of that waking up this morning. But fellas, as we begin here on this Thursday, let's start with the main event of the evening. That is the Sweet 16. You have four games on Thursday. You have four games on Friday. And House, we had a very chalky round of 32. We talked about it on our Monday pod, where you had favorites covering left and right. You don't really have a real Cinderella in the Sweet 16. I'm sorry, NC State doesn't count. They play in a Power 5. They won the ACC tournament. They're not a real Cinderella. That all being said, House, you go through these games, you got North Carolina and Bama. You got a rematch at a national championship game with UConn and San Diego State. Creighton, Tennessee, Gonzaga, Purdue. All in all, House, I didn't even mention Houston and Duke. I think this is a great Sweet 16, and the chalk helps these games.
That's
over
right,
the next
JJ. Of course, that's the trade-off. We lose out on the thrill of the unexpected, the out of nowhere, the superstars that we didn't know existed. But now we have heavyweights. We have dudes getting in the ring who are ready to swing. They are swinging for the fences, and I expect some genuine knockout blows, possibly from some unexpected corners. Although I will say my gambling card filled with more favorites than dogs.
Wow, surprising. I thought maybe you were going to go in an underdog direction. We'll get to that gambling card in a minute. Raheem, do you think we'll have a little bit of a market correction here? I know you're the numbers guy. This is where I like to get your expertise on this sort of stuff. Favorites, Saturday and Sunday, cash cow. Now you look at Thursday, Friday. Do you think the underdogs, this is where we should look to jump in, or is it more case-by-case kind of basis?
I think it's a case-by-case basis. I think we could see scenarios where underdogs cover and then favorites actually win the game. If you're looking at a game like Clemson versus Arizona, they're 7.5-point dogs. I think Clemson can keep that game close. But I do think this is a rather chalky tournament. I think you have teams like Purdue, which are going to put it down. I think you have a team like Connecticut, who I don't expect anyone to beat. So I think it's a chalky tournament, but I think you can pick your spots and pick off some dogs.
Fellas, let's get to these two games on Saturday. Oh, excuse me, I'm jumping ahead of myself. They'll be playing on Thursday. The winners will be finding their way on Saturday. Raheem hit on it. UConn, a massive, massive favorite against San Diego State. Now, this was a rematch of a game we had last year on Monday night in the national championship game, but you're going to have to pay a premium. They call it a UConn tax, as far as I'm concerned, with the Huskies laying 11. You have Arizona laying 7.5 against Clemson. Then in a night session, two interesting games. High total, UNC and Alabama. Expect a whole lot of points with those two. You have the Tar Heels favored by 4.5. And then you have Iowa State and Illinois, in my opinion, the most competitive game of the day. Iowa State, a great defensive team. Illinois, one of the best, if not the best, offensive team in the country. And this line's gone from 3.5 to 1.5. So, House, I give you the four games at your disposal on Thursday to have a little fun with.
I want to chime in first on this idea of Clemson because I absolutely subscribe to it. I think that Clemson is going to be live against Arizona because it's a very nice matchup situation. The things that Clemson are good at, which is taking away transition offense, limiting transition opportunities, packing in a zone, and being very good at defensive rebounding, which is keeping teams limited to one shot. Those are all the ways that Arizona likes to score. Now, I'm not saying that Clemson is going to win this game outright, but I love the 7.5 in that instance. But for me, the game that I am loading up on, my favorite game of the day there, is North Carolina laying the 3.5. The total is 173.5. I love Carolina laying the points. I love Carolina on the money line. And I am playing this game under because I don't have a pathway for Alabama. The worst defensive team remaining in this Sweet 16, a group that they are outside of the top 100 in terms of defensive efficiency. And over the last 25 years, they are second worst in points per game. So they don't really defend. They have not been great, Alabama, when they have gone up against legit competition this season. They lost four of their last six games. Now, they caught an awesome first two games, bracket-wise. Charleston, perfect matchup for them. And then they caught Grand Canyon, who I will remind everybody was within a basket with 4 minutes left in that game. Grand Canyon against SEC Alabama. I love Carolina. I'm loading up on them. 3.5 and the under. And the under is simply because I don't think Alabama is going to be able to score. So that's where I'm at on this one, fellas.
Well, what I like about that play, Bama is a terrible defensive team. North Carolina is a terrific defensive team. And I think North Carolina is going to be able to score on Alabama. And I think you're onto something here, House. This came to me from a total perspective. If Carolina is going to go and win, and if Carolina is going to go and cover, they are without a doubt going to keep this game under the total. If you see this game going crazy high, advantage Crimson Tide. Now, the only thing that scares me here, the KenPom projection only has Carolina by 2, yet we have 4.5. A lot of public money, right, Raheem, coming in on the Tar Heels?
Yeah, I mean, most definitely. But I think it's warranted. I mean, a big reason for, I mean, House hinted at a lot of reasons why it's warranted. And I just think UNC should be able to dominate on the offensive glass. They should be able to get to the free throw line. House already mentioned it. You know, this Alabama team is one of the worst defensive teams in the league. And if you ask me, they probably should have lost that game to Grand Canyon. So I just think this is a game where UNC should be able to win this game. This feels like a smash spot to me. I mean, the public has been winning. If you go throughout the NCAA tournament, the public has been winning. If you go back to the NFL season, the public has been winning. So if it's not broke, don't fix it.
I'm right there with you, fellas. Listen, you know I have North Carolina winning this region. You know I have a future on the Carolina Tar Heels to get and win a national championship. We want to get that home to Arizona next week. I think North Carolina is the right side in the game. I have no problem playing the favorite. I'll have in some money line parlays and we'll take it from there.
And you can still get North Carolina 13-1 to win the tournament. So if you think they're going to win this game, and this line was 3.5, it's up to 4.5 now. Why not sprinkle a little bit on North Carolina? It's always good to have that lottery ticket in your back pocket.
No doubt about it. The one I like, guys, that I will be all over, give me Illinois. I love the way the line is moving. They have the best player in the game in Shannon. They're shooting the lights out. And what I think you should watch for with Illinois, for what it's worth, they are a second-half team. Now, it wasn't necessarily the case against Duquesne, who, let's be honest, had no business being in the round of 32, no disrespect. But if you've watched Illinois a lot in these Big Ten title games, in the conference tournament, down at halftime, came back against Nebraska, down big, might I add, down against Wisconsin, came back, ended up winning the game. I'll still take them, Raheem, plus the point and a half. I like the fact that the market's moving with me. But if they're down 6 or 7 points at halftime, I may be looking to double back down and get in on Illinois. When I see the four games on Thursday, I, for one, like the Illini the best. I think they went outright.
Interesting. So you're willing, you're choosing offense over defense here. I know Terrence.
Which I normally don't do, Raheem. You're right about that. Because a lot of instances, the great defense, especially in basketball, is going to go and shut you down. But I just think this market move tells you something here. And I'm getting the best player on the floor, which to me is advantageous.
Yeah, I mean, Terrence Shannon Jr., I mean, he's playing out of his mind. So he's a tough fade at this point in time. I mentioned it earlier, I think Clemson is going to keep this within the number. They're good at limiting transition opportunities. Obviously, Caleb Love could, you know, dominate from the outside, but he could also shoot you out of a game. So I just think they keep this one close. So I'm gonna grab Clemson with the plus 7.5.
You know, I'm with you there on Clemson. I early in the week, fellas, I thought Arizona might be in a smash spot scenario. But the more and more I've kind of looked into it, Clemson won at North Carolina. Clemson should have won at Duke. Their metrics match up. They have interior play. See, that's something Dayton didn't have. Dayton didn't have a guy they could go and get an easy bucket with. Clemson has that. So I'm with you, Raheem. I will be on the Tigers as well. I'll be taking them plus the 7.5. Now, we have four games on Friday to get to. And I'm not going to waste any time on UConn San Diego State. I think the fellas are going to all be aligned on UConn. I actually may hold my nose and take San Diego State, but friends don't let friends bet against UConn. So maybe that's going to be something I'm putting in the air. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to put it in the air. I might take San Diego State. Depends on if I'm having a couple of cocktails on Thursday night. But anyway, Friday games. NC State, 6.5-point dog against Marquette. You have Gonzaga as a 5.5-point dog against Purdue. Now, remember, these teams matched up in Maui. Purdue won the game going away. They'll meet again. The other two games, and these are great, and I mean great games on Friday night, fellas. Duke, 4-point dog against Houston. Creighton, 2.5-point dog against Rick Barnes in Tennessee. Raheem, I give you that Friday card. Four games. Which one you like the best?
This one's tough for me. Because I think these are all close games. I think I'm going to go with Purdue. I just think this team is in a position to where, look, they already beat the Zags earlier this year. You mentioned 73-63. And I know the Zags were only 6-32 from behind the arc. But I just think this Purdue team, they're coming back from getting eliminated as a number one seed to a 16th seed last year. I just think they're a better team this year. The Zags team is not great this year. I'm going to lay the points with them.
You're rolling with Purdue. And listen, Purdue, outside of UConn, looks like the second best team in this tournament. And, you know, I had Jim Boeheim on my pod a couple of days ago, kind of sees and senses a little bit of that redemption vibe that you had with Virginia a few years ago when they lost to the 16. They've come back the following year, and it's a different look and it's a different feel. House, Raheem's rolling with Purdue. Four games Friday night. What's your favorite?
Well, JJ, I kind of already forecasted this on Monday's East Coast bias. I just can't get there with this Creighton team. And I think that Tennessee is especially a bad matchup for the things that Creighton needs to do to be successful in this tournament. Now, it was skin of the teeth for Creighton to pull off the victory over Oregon. And we debated a little bit, well, does that mean they got their tough game out of the way? I think this Creighton team, the way that they scored the ball, all of their games at this stage are tough games. And I see Tennessee taking care of business. The only thing that would mess this up is if Dalton Connect has two bad games in a row, and I don't see it. So this is a test of the best guy on the floor. It's the reason why I'm not messing around with that Illinois-Iowa State game, because I don't want to be on the wrong side of Terrence Shannon. I just want to sit back and enjoy that game, even though I personally would lean a little defense versus offense. I'm on Dalton Connect, and I'm going to just invest in Dalton Connect. So I like Tennessee. They're only laying 2.5 now, I think. It's been at 3.5. It's been in, and so, no, nice low total, 143.5. Tennessee defense, very highly rated all season long. I think they have the length and athleticism to match up with the mid-range game that Creighton has to survive in. I just think that Tennessee might squeeze a life out of them.
Guys, I know NC State's been good to me. I love the big guy down low. I like Horn. This is an awful matchup for them against Marquette. Marquette has the sort of bigs that can put the big fella in pick and rolls all night. You're going to see them do that. They got Kolick back. And I think it's telling that you're seeing Marquette as a 6.5-point favorite. The books are very comfortable with a lot of public tickets coming in on NC State. They're more than okay keeping that line at 6.5. I just think even with Marquette's lack of depth, they don't have a lot of guys. They're only going to go about 7 deep. I just think they're way too athletic for NC State. So I'm taking Marquette. I'm laying the 6.5. That's my 5. Edit that out. That, my friends, is my favorite play for Friday night. So there you have it. The Sweet 16, we got you covered. Poised for Thursday, poised for Friday. Maybe we will circle back and give you another additional play for a best bet. It is possible before we say goodbye. There's a lot on the docket on this Thursday show. We will get to the NFL over-under totals. We will get to quite the statement by the Dallas Mavericks as we hit the home stretch in the NBA season and trying to figure out Phoenix, where they stand, Dallas, where they stand, the East, how that all shakes out. Knicks get Mitchell Robinson back. OG Anunoby and Julius Randle on the way. But boys, we come back. It's opening day. There's wall-to-wall baseball to get to. We will get one over and one under. This is your last chance to get these futures in before we say sayonara and we advance through 162. So we'll get you ready for the 2024 baseball season right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
All right, boys, welcome back. It's opening day. I love opening day. I wish it was a national holiday. Baseball should do it right. I mean, the idea that they don't have, for the most part, everybody playing at either 1, 4, and 7 o'clock, I think is a little bizarre. But be that as it may, to go right from these baseball games, and I got the Yankees and the Astros guys at 4 o'clock, Juan Soto making his Yankee debut, fired up to see that. I know you're not thrilled, seeing Juan Soto and the Yankee road gray is not going to be ideal. But it will lead us right into the basketball. I want to give you a futures board. The World Series odds as we speak. Dodgers with Mr. Conspiracy Theory, Shohei Ohtani. No thanks on that at plus 320. Atlanta at plus 450. Astros 7-1. Yankees 9-1. Texas, Baltimore 14-1. Phillies 15-1. Toronto 18-1. Seattle 20-1. Minnesota 21-1, Tampa, St. Louis 30-1, and in Arizona, how about them? 35-1. Juicy, juicy number there. Raheem, I don't want to spoil my favorite over, but man, I see Arizona at 35-1. They were in the World Series last year. That's a juicy, juicy number. Anything stand out there on that futures board?
Yes, there's a couple of them. So I like the Chicago Cubs, over 83.5 wins. They underperformed their Pythagorean expectation by 7 games. So that's one I'm definitely going to go with. Like, I love that one.
Well, I like that one, too, because you have Counsell coming in as a manager. To me, he's one of the few managers in the sport that makes a difference because he's just so detail-oriented. His guys really like him. You take them, put him in a different pedestal because they take the former manager of the Brewers. Brewers don't have Counsell. That might be an under we might be looking into. And from an over perspective, the Cubs, I think it's there for the taking in that very mediocre National League Central. House, favorite over.
Yeah, so I am looking at, we touched on this, you know, we were kind of speculating a little bit. I'm on Tampa Bay. all Tampa Bay does. They're sitting at 84 and a half wins, and it's a reaction to Wander Franco. It's a reaction to the pitching situation, the Tommy John surgery. But part of this, to me, is an opportunity in the American League East, where I think the Yankees are overrated. I think Baltimore now, there's too much variance in their number. I think Boston is terrible. I think that 74 might be too many wins for Boston, which is around the total for them. So Tampa Bay, and this is really a respect to the organization, because all they do every year is beat their forecasted win total. Over the last 5 years, the total projected wins for them is just over 85, and all they do is average 94 wins a season. So this is both a tip of the cap to Tampa, the institutional ability to be competitive every single year. Every year they put names out that we're not really all that familiar with, and they become, you know, very competitive, especially on the pitching side. So I love Tampa at 84 and a half over.
Speaking of a name that people may not be familiar with, if you're going to take the Tampa Bay Rays, which we all like, Junior Caminero, he's worth a good flyer for American League Rookie of the Year. He's 20-1 on FanDuel Sportsbook right now. He plays for the Tampa Bay Rays, so you should probably take a shot on that.
Listen, Raheem, I know the deal with the Rays. They know how to win. So I'm right there with your house. Even with Tyler Glasnow going to the Los Angeles Dodgers, how many times have we seen Tampa take pitchers that you've never heard of? And I'm sitting there in the middle of summer, and I'm like, holy smokes, that guy's an all-star. Oh, wow, that guy's pitching to a 2.5 ERA. Oh, Kevin Cash has the stable relievers that he's running out of the bullpen, throwing 99, 100 miles an hour. They're going to win north to 84 and a half games. They're going to be a competitive team. Guys, I spoiled it. Arizona, I love their over. And normally, I don't like taking a team that lost the World Series the year before. Here's the thing with Arizona. Their postseason run was unexpected. They're a young team. They were ahead of schedule last year. They go and just signed Jordan Montgomery 2 days ago. They're going to get Eduardo Rodriguez back. So their pitching staff, people say, oh, well, the pitching, it logged too many innings in the postseason last year. Well, you're just getting two new guys. I know one of them was on the World Series winner, but hey, you're replenishing. So I'm not worried about that. They have a young, dynamic lineup. They're going to score a ton of runs. I think the Dodgers are overrated and overvalued. I think the Padres are at best, you know, an 85, 86 win team. And you have the Colorado Rockies, who you could feast off in the division. I'm down on the Giants. Give me Arizona. And I got this total the other day, guys, before Montgomery at 82 and a half. I still like it at 84 and a half. I still like it. I think Arizona, Raheem, at 35-1 is good value to have some fun with a World Series total. You don't get totals like that from an NL champ very often. I like that.
So if you think Arizona has good value, are you buying in to Corbin Carroll's MVP chances? He's 20-1 to win an NL MVP. You know, Ronald Acuna, he's 5-1 right now. Mookie Betts is plus 650. It feels like Corbin Carroll could have some value. He finished fifth last year.
I like that. And to me, with the MVP, you really need to find guys who are well-oiled machines that do a lot of different things, because they do factor in the defense. They do factor in the speed now with these new rule changes. Everyone was drooling over Acuna last year when he's stealing 70, 75 bags. Voters want to see that. So that's where a guy like Freddie Freeman, you might run into a little trouble with. Number one, he's on a loaded team. Number two, he's not going to put up those sort of athletic type of numbers. So I'm with you, Raheem. Like the Diamondbacks, definitely intrigued by the idea of a Corbin Carroll MVP consideration. All right, under house.
I don't want anybody to call this a cop-out, but I am on the Chicago White Sox under 61 and a half. And look, they won 61 games last year. There is no reason for them to try and do anything beyond that. They told us the direction that they're headed in with the trade of Dylan Cease. And they have all of these assets still on the team that they can flip into, you know, buying a super. They have a very highly rated farm system. I think that's like a top 10 farm system. And you just start building up. We know with baseball, you can build a great stable and, like, you know, put yourself on a projection line because of the player control dynamic with the contracts. You want to get the younger guy, the youngest guys possible, and maximize their performance as quickly as possible. That's why the Orioles are so competitive right now. And that's the path that the White Sox are on. The era that we are in right now, all the bad teams lose 100 games. The four teams last year lost 100 games or more. So you're just not asking for very much. And the White Sox have told us what their intentions are. So under 61.5 for me with the White Sox.
Under. Okay, I like it. I think they're going to stink. I think they're one of the worst teams in baseball. Raheem, under you like?
I'm going to go with the St. Louis Cardinals. Under 85 wins. Not that high on this team. This team, they only won 71 games last year. Pythagorean expectation of 71. They didn't underperform. They didn't overperform. I know they added some new guys to the pitching staff, but, I mean, Paul Goldschmidt is getting up there in age. Like, I just don't see it with this team. So I think they're in a tough division. I think the Pirates should be better. I think the Cubs are, you know, they should be a lot better. So I'm going to go under here.
I got an under similar division. It's the AL Central. I thought about the Brewers. Brewers burned me last year. I'm still going to bet it as an under, but I'm not giving it out as my favorite one. The Brewer under last year was basically dead on arrival because they started off the year like 12-2. And I'm like, geez, under 83.5 ain't looking too good. And I was correct on that. They ended up going over. They lose in the playoffs and away you go. I think the Cleveland Guardians are an under, guys, because you take away Tito Francona. There's something to be said for that presence that he's provided within the organization for a long time. They can't hit a lick. Cleveland's offense stinks. I like Minnesota. I think the Tigers are going to be better. I think the Royals are going to be better. And I just think Cleveland, you're getting too high a number at 79.5 wins. I wouldn't be surprised if midway through the year, they're looking to maybe trade off some guys, specifically Shane Bieber, maybe a Josh Naylor, give or take. So I'm out on Cleveland, under 79.5 wins. To wrap this up, though, Raheem, you're going to like my World Series pick.
Who is it?
I have the Philadelphia Phillies over the Baltimore Orioles in the World Series. So it'll be a very convenient I-95 trip for house up and down. You know, just saying, I'll be an easy trek. Phillies over the Orioles.
Well, the funny thing is, yeah, I might have the Orioles back in my life because Peter Angelos and the Angelos family are out of the picture, literally out of the picture. Today, David Rubenstein was papping the bottles. So I might be back. I might have the American League back in my life. I'd like to celebrate that. I had to swear them off back in 1997 when David Johnson was forced to resign the same day that he won American League Manager of the Year. But Baltimore, let's go. Maybe we're back.
You're back. Raheem, do I get your blessing on that World Series pick, or are you cringing?
I think you do get my blessing because the Baltimore Orioles right now, I mean, they've been an absolute terror in spring training. And, you know, normally you wouldn't take a lot from spring training, but this team is 23-6-2 in spring training. I mean, they are just, like, completely dominant. So, like, I think you can't not pay attention to what they're doing right now. They got Adley Rutschman. They got just great guys on that lineup. And I just think they're going to be the team to beat in the AL East. Now, when it comes to the Phillies, I'm still a little concerned about the – I mean, look, last year, we should have gone to the World Series. And I still have a little PTSD from that. So I don't know about the Phillies, but I'm hoping you're right about them.
We shall see. All right, we'll jot all these down. We'll monitor these throughout the course of the baseball season. And – you know, when the Cleveland Guardians go win 95 games and win the American League Central, you guys can all make fun of me and say I'm an absolute buffoon. So there's that. By the way, I didn't throw this in there, and I hope Simmons is listening. The Red Sox under is like taking candy from a baby, too. They stink. I mean, they stink. And Alex Cora's got 1 foot out the door. Raheem, you, me, and House might be pitching in their bullpen by the time the year ends. Give me the Red Sox as an under. That team is going to be absolute trash. Has brought it up earlier. I just wanted to, Guys, when we come back, a big couple of days for the Dallas Mavericks. We're getting ready for Raheem's 100. We're starting to rev up the engines. We're all fired up for that. Is Dallas going to go and find their way into the six? We'll discuss. That's coming up next.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, welcome back. So, you know, we talked about this, Raheem, on Monday. The idea of how challenging this potential back-to-back could be for Dallas. The idea of, hey, they're on the road. They know they have Sacramento coming up. Quite the job by them, though, to go and get these last two games. And Dallas, who made all those moves at the trade deadline, very bullish on Dallas right after the trade deadline, kind of putting themselves and setting themselves up that if they go on a little bit of a run here, they maybe can get that last legit playoff spot and make a team like Phoenix. Hey, Kevin Durant, them Booker, go play in that playing game, baby.
Yeah, this Dallas Mavericks team is absolutely rolling right now. You look at that, the road back-to-back from Utah to Sacramento, that's not easy for any NBA team, regardless of the opposing team's quality. And they went out there and beat the Kings by almost 40 points or so. So really impressive. At the end of the day, Luka Doncic is just unbelievable. And you combine that with the shot making of Kyrie Irving. You combine that with the fact that they're playing defense and they're rebounding right now. And you combine that with the fact that at the end of the day, Luka Doncic, to beat him in a postseason series, it's very difficult. Like you look at the teams that beat him, the Los Angeles Clippers, who were the title favorites in each of the years in which they played. The Golden State Warriors, who went on to win the NBA title. You're not knocking this team out easily. So this team could easily make it to the fourth seed in the Western Conference right now. If you look right now, they're the sixth seed, and they're just one game behind the Pelicans and 1.5 games behind the Clippers, who are slipping right now. And I think they're going to be the toughest challenge for the Denver Nuggets. So I really like this Mavericks team. The last time we said this, they went on a losing streak, which was very frustrating for me and House. But I don't think they're going to be going on any more losing streaks the way they're playing right now.
Yeah, JJ, I'm just going to knock on wood because obviously I agree with every single thing Dream just said. And we also invested properly in our conviction on this as Denver, to our point of view, my point of view, won the trade deadline. What they have found chemistry-wise is an athleticism, an ability to both defend the rim with Lively and Gafford, to rebound the ball, a much improved defensive rebounding team, and now they're rim running. Those guys are going to the rim. Those are the two guys, I think, since the trade deadline, if you look this up, I think they're number one and number two in shooting percentage in the entire NBA, because what they're getting is dunks. What we have is Dallas Dunk City all of a sudden with this Dallas Mavericks team. Dream's point is the right one. I think Dallas is absolutely poised to jump into not only the 5 seed, but the 4 seed. And the crazy thing is it's a jump ball in terms of the 1 seed. Dallas might not, if Oklahoma City or Minnesota holds on to the 1 seed, then Dallas at the 4 or 5, if they beat New Orleans or they beat the Clippers, they'll play Oklahoma City or Minnesota. They'll be favorites against either one of those two teams, I think, even though they'll be, they won't have home court advantage. And then it's Dallas and Denver potentially for the Western Conference Finals. I mean, the thing with the Pelicans, the Brandon Ingram injury came at exactly the wrong time. And they've been sucking wind a little bit, but we're going to see a very important game for the Pelicans against the Bucks tonight. So we'll just see how this all shakes out.
All right, the other big game on Tuesday that I do want to hit on, you had the Lakers down big against Milwaukee. They come storming back. They end up winning that game in double overtime. They get a monstrous day out of Anthony Davis. House, does that game, and I know we don't want to get nuts about one individual regular season game out of, you know, an 82-game season, but the Lakers have found their footing here. They've won 4 or 5 games in a row. Milwaukee had that hot start right after the All-Star break, but it kind of ends up same old with them, with their inability to play high-level defense. Did that game tell you maybe more about the Lakers and maybe where they're trending, Or did it tell you more about the Bucks, where it's like, yeah, this is what this Bucks team is going to be, and we shouldn't be surprised come playoff time if anybody picks Milwaukee off because of their inefficiencies?
I mean, a little bit of both. And to me, the bigger takeaway is like this Lakers team coming into view, reminding that they are, you know, going to be a nuisance for whoever they end up playing wise. It seems like they're going to land in the play in. I think that they're going to advance. And then if they play, if they're the 8 seed playing the 1 seed and they're going up against Oklahoma City or Minnesota, man, that's a knockdown drag out. And it's because, you know, you're starting to see some of the role players. You know, Reeves had his best game of the entire season in that comeback against the Bucks. So if that, they all know their roles. That's another team. They obviously need health. They can't afford any injury whatsoever, but they are the diametric opposite of the old, stale, Dennis fried chicken Gold State Warriors. The Lakers actually are something, and something to behold. It's going to be really great. I love this next 10 games or so.
Yeah, I think the Lakers are going to be a tough out for anyone outside of Denver. I think Denver, they have the Lakers' number. They have everyone's number. But if the Lakers were to get into the postseason and they were to play Oklahoma City Thunder, the Thunder are in trouble. If they were to play the Timberwolves, who we know struggled in clutch offense down the stretch, they're in trouble. I think the Lakers, they're poised to make a run. So I think you can't count this team out. On any given night, Anthony Davis could be the best player in the league, or he could just not show up. And I think when it comes to the postseason, I expect him and LeBron James to show up more often than not. D'Angelo Russell, since he's been in trade talks, he's been playing much better. Now, as I said on the Bill Simmons podcast last night, I wish they would take Spencer Dinwiddie out of the rotation because he's not really providing much. But I think they have the pieces around him to be able to do some damage in the postseason. And so I don't expect them to go to the finals because the Nuggets are there, but I do expect them to just be a tough out.
Lakers, I still have that future from the beginning of the year. Can you take me on a ride? I mean, at this point, considering how their regular season has been, it's like, can you take me on a ride? That said, though, House, listen, last year they were worse in the regular season than they are right now. And we were sitting there in late May, Memorial Day weekend, talking about a pretty competitive Denver Laker Western Conference Finals. All I'm going to say is, look, I don't think the Lakers are winning the title. Let me make that perfectly clear. I do not think they're winning the title. I don't think they have enough. Am I going to be surprised, Toss, if we're sitting here on my birthday, May 15th, and the Lakers are in a second-round series? Well, I'm not
Who's
surprised.
Who's
going
to be surprised? Look, I really don't want to say this, but I feel like as a out there for the public, the Lakers are still alive for their win total for the season. I'm not going to – I'm sorry to have said it. I'm sorry.
You went there.
There are still 10 games left.
I didn't. You did. You did.
What
do you need
on
that?
What was the Lakers' win total?
What do you need? 7-3?
I think 7-3. Yeah. 47 gets it done.
So what?
46.5 was the number, and most books is where it closed at.
Oh, wow. That's a sharp win
total.
That's
tough. That's tough. You put it in the air, so I'll be rooting for you. That's all I'm going to say. You know what's great, guys? I was just thinking about this with my NBA win totals. I bet 3 that were my absolute favorites. Toronto under, rocking chair, feet up, winner. Nets under, rocking chair, feet up, winner. Atlanta over, rocking chair, loser. So there will be no drama and no suspense for me in the final, you know, days and weeks and house.
How about our Knicks? Come on.
How about our Knicks bet? We didn't even bet that at the beginning of the year. We hopped on.
I had it both
year.
Ways. What I thought that Knicks total was 41.5. Crazy talk. Come on now.
No respect for my guy, the Penguin, Tom Thibodeau. No respect for the Penguin. That's all I'm going to say. All right, guys, we come back. We got over-unders from an NFL perspective. It's way too early. I know. It's the end of March, right? But they're out. We have thoughts. That's coming up right after this.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So, it's wonderful that we have NFL over on this already. It's a little scary, I'm not going to lie. We haven't finished up free agency officially. We have not had the NFL draft. There's still a good amount of uncertainty. But that said, we are more than willing to react to what the board has presented us. And Joe House, you and I and Raheem and Simmons and Sal happen to be in a group chat. Sal, House, and JJ are going to be aligned in a bet. And I have a feeling Simmons is going to be against us. That's fine. I don't know where Raheem stands on this. House, I cannot wait to bet the Jet under at 9.5 wins. I know we did it last year. I cannot wait to do it again. Between Aaron Rodgers, old Tyron Smith, Mike Williams, who never plays, Bob Sala, who's like a zillion games under 500 as a head coach in the AFC. Please sign me up right now. I am on the under. Let's bet it immediately.
We have to find the book that will take the largest amount that we can get down across the four of us. That's a stone cold lock under. It is the Jets. Reminder, it is the Jets. Now look, New England has the lowest win total forecasted of any team in the entire NFL.
This is amazing. You know how amazing it is that the Patriot win total is like 4.5? This is great. I've been waiting my
right
entire
number.
Life for this.
That's not even a bad number. Miami and Buffalo are still good. The Jets are still looking up. Like, you know, we had this vaunted defense that was supposed to be the thing that was going to keep them around. But I just don't trust the decision making. At the end of the day, they are the Jets. They've been the Jets for, you know, 40 years. Every Jets fan knows exactly. This is a team that claimed to be loaded up, ready to do something last year, and showed up with the Zach Wilson in the quarterback room. That means you're not a serious football team. And so this is the core identity of who they are. I'm out on the Jets. It's wonderful to try and get down on it right now.
Raheem, those early totals from FanDuel, what caught your eye?
Okay, so I mentioned the Arizona Cardinals before. I got another one that I really like, and it's my favorite. I'm going to go Baltimore Ravens under 11.5.
Wow. Wins.
I like that. No, I'm right there with you on that. Explain, Raheem.
This is a team that lost more than 6,000 combined snaps last year between all of the guys that they lost. I mean, Edwards, you're talking about Duvernay. You're talking about Queen, Stone, Darby. The defense is going to take a massive step back. And then guess who is back in their division? You got Joe Burrow, Joe Cool. He's back. And if you look at those games against the Bengals, they basically got two free games because Joe Burrow was injured in the first one. And in the second one, Joe Burrow was carving them up. And then he got injured. And then the Ravens pretty much took that game. The division is better. You got Pittsburgh. They actually have a better quarterback in Russell Wilson, regardless of how we feel about him. And I just think with all of the guys that they lost, the defense taking a step back, the fact that the Baltimore Ravens, they had a dream season last year. How can it get better than last year? They won 13, 14 games or so last year. Lamar Jackson won MVP. This team takes a step back. And one other tidbit I want to add. If you look at all of the win totals since 2000, teams with a win total over 10.5 or more have just gone over 46% of the time. So if you blindly fade that, you got a positive expected value wager.
Sign me up. I think it makes perfect sense. You know, another one I like, fellas, New Orleans. Their total's at 7.5. They're in salary cap hell. They just seem to be in this flux as an organization. House, I know the division stinks, but it's improved. Like, Atlanta's going to – I'm not investing in Atlanta's total. It's insanely high, but they're going to be better. Tampa is better. I don't think Carolina's going to be as bad as they were. I'm out on the Saints, dude. Give me that under. 7.5 wins, I'm betting that one
the
now,
all,
too.
The only thing I'll say is, like, you know, friends don't let friends bet the NFC South. Like, why wade in there? It's a garbage Fair. Division. You know, kudos to Baker for catching that bag and catching, you know, a little bit of momentum at the end of the season and showing out, winning a playoff game. I'm glad for Baker, but that whole division can just go, you know, off to, into oblivion. I don't need to see any games featuring any of those teams this upcoming season. I won't miss any of them, and I'll try hard not to bet them unless the money line is juicy. I did get some Panthers money line action last year. Worked out okay.
You did. You hit on a. I think you hit on the only game they won against the Texans.
True story.
The Panthers week 18 against the Bucs. I mean, you want to talk about misery. I mean, between that and Oregon, Creighton, I don't even, man. But I feel that do you fire on these immediately, Raheem? If you like the number, you will. Or with some of them, do you want more information?
I generally want more information. So I'm typically like I'm trying to fire at the end. But some of these, I just think they're too good because I know the number is going to get beat down. So I like for the most part, I'm waiting until August. I want to see if there's a quarterback getting hurt, a left tackle getting hurt. Like, I'd just rather wait. But I think some, you just got to grab right now.
I totally agree with Dream. The only one that I absolutely feel compelled to do anything with in any way, shape, or form is the Pittsburgh Steelers at 8.5. Just got to take 9. All they do every year.
FanDuel dropped it to 7.5. But you got to pay. But here's the catch. You got to pay minus 160 on it.
I mean, respectfully, the line –
I would wait for the market to bet on Tomlin and have a winning year. I'm with you. I don't want to weigh the juice.
It's March. We're not market 160. Get out of here. Come on. We'll let the market, you know, mature, ripen up, and then we'll play what is just there's no guarantees in football, but it's been a pretty good run that Coach Tomlin has been on.
Just to give you an example of how quickly these markets move. I was on Bill Simmons' podcast last night. And I gave out the Baltimore Ravens under 11.5 wins at minus 130. It is now juiced to minus 150, less than 24 hours later. So that's how quickly these markets move. So sometimes you got to jump in and get the best of it.
It's amazing. People just are dying about football. They're going to have to watch it now on Christmas Day. They got new kickoff rules. It does not matter the time of the year. Whatever they got, that pixie dust, that juju they got over at Park Avenue in the NFL ain't broke. Don't fix it. All right, boys, we'll come back, wrap up East Coast Pies. Best bets, Loaded Thursday, right after this. All right, it's time for best bets. And a reminder, on Friday, we're going to have an SGP for the College Basketball Sweet 16. You want to check that out. Hopefully, we'll have better cooperation and better luck than we did a week ago. I'm still haunted by Nevada. Be that as it may, House, the floor is yours. You could go college. You got baseball. You got NBA. Thursday.
Yeah,
best
across
bet.
The what card. And I want everybody to go into the weekend feeling good with the bankroll a little swelled up. Let's just make it simple. We're going to pound the under in that Alabama-North Carolina game. I made the case, I hope pretty compellingly at the outset of the show as to why I think this is a mismatch in class. I just don't think Alabama is going to be able to score. They're going to be the reason that this number 173.5 is not in danger at any point in this game. I love the under North Carolina, Alabama 173.5.
Right there with you. And that is a nice little correlation for my Carolina Tar Heels, who hopefully will take care of business. Not one of my best bets, but I do like them, but it's not my favorite. We'll get to that. Raheem, best bet Thursday. What do we got?
We're going to go to the association. We're going to go to the most profitable bet side or total or derivative all throughout the NBA all this season. You guys want to take a wild guess on what that is?
Boston Celtics after a loss.
Boston Celtics first half this year.
Ooh, okay.
Boston Celtics in the first half are 53-18.
Wow.
If you would have bet every single Boston Celtics first half spread, you would be up 31 units and have a 30.
We'd be making a lot of money, Raheem. We'd be making it rain.
37% return on investment. They lost to the Atlanta Hawks the other night as 10.5-point favorites. Now they get to take on Atlanta Hawks team, who is not only on a back-to-back, but they're playing the third game in 4 nights, and this is a revenge spot. So we're just going to blindly take the Boston Celtics first half, no matter what the number is. That's what my play is.
All right, we got two plays. I'm going heads up with one of House's best bets with the college. I'm taking Creighton on the money line against Tennessee. It's Rick Barnes. It's the Sweet 16. And I'm almost looking at that win against Oregon as like a galvanizing force where you survived that game. And now it's, hey, we got a new lease on life. Hey, we were in the Elite Eight just a year ago. I don't even need the points. I think Creighton is going to shoot way better than they did against the Ducks. I'll take Creighton to send Kinnett and Rick Barnes, who knows a thing or two about losing in the NCAA tournament, packing. So, House, save FanDuel. Talk to me. We'll put the wager in and we'll take it from there. But I want to give you guys two baseball plays. Everyone's going to bet favorites. Everyone's going to want to bet the better pitching matchup. I think both of these teams are going to stink this year. But there is value in the Oakland A's against the Cleveland Guardians. Line's already fallen about 20 points. Red Sox with Bayo. I know they stink. Line open 190 with Castillo. It's down to 175. If you bet Oakland and Boston, one of those teams are going to win. I will be betting both of them. Let's hope to have a big night after all the basketball. Or you hit one or two, you're probably making money. Plus money either way. Raheem, you like 140, 150 plays. They're fun.
Oh, yeah. Always. Without a doubt. Like, I wish you the best of luck on that one. I think you got it.
Hey, listen, betting two bad teams, but it beats laying 190 and sweating those out when you know you're laying that big on opening day. That stinks. We don't want to do that.
Not at all. Not at all.
We'll be barking. That's the idea. We'll be barking late night. So for Joe House, Raheem Palmer, JJ Johnson-Strzemski signing off. We'll be back next week. We'll have a closer look at the NBA playoff race. We'll have a Final Four to look forward to. And we're getting that much closer to Augusta and the Masters. I know House has a little extra pep in his step. Good job, Stefan. Boys are out. Be good, everybody. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts. Or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.